Christ. Amen. You know, there's a genuine joy that comes from being a disciple of Jesus Christ. A genuine joy. It comes from sharing the message. It comes when you're kind of talking to somebody about it and the proverbial light goes on or the penny drops and they actually receive. It comes from seeing new smiles in church. It comes when a church takes on new priorities. Discipleship joy comes when new faces take on familiar positions and familiar faces take on new positions. It comes with servanthood and Scripture becoming the norm and praise awakening. Community being made new, a confirmand making a vow, a baptism happening. A good night's sleep in a foreign country after a long day of work, a handshake from somebody in the neighborhood because they actually believe that you now care about them. There is an unquenchable joy in being a disciple of Jesus. And you know, this should make sense, or at least you should begin to, because after all, Jesus did not come to just kind of fill in the cracks in your life or to dole out like how-to advice. Advice on like fly fishing or how to fix your car or how to achieve through workout your best body or booty. Okay? He did not come to make suggestions on how to become successful in business, in real estate, or in the bedroom. Jesus came to proclaim good news. Good news that comes because the kingdom of God is near. And amazingly, in Luke 10, Jesus is actually commissioning here a wider group of people that's going to take this incredible message out. And they're not to be door-to-door salespeople. They're not supposed to look like moochers who are just out there to get another magazine subscription signed up for to become young cookie entrepreneurs. Instead, he's telling them to bring peace, to bring rest, to bring what the Bible will call shalom. The kingdom of God is near. And trust me, this is a whole new way to look at the world. It's a whole new way to look at life. The kingdom of God is near. This isn't just a sideline add-on to your life that's already filled or fulfilled or anxious or frightened or stressed or distracted. It's meant to change every I dotted and T crossed. The kingdom of God is near. Now, the kingdom can make that kind of promise because it's powerful. And because you probably have noticed that Jesus never says that we can just kind of sort of be in the kingdom. We're not meant to be kingdom dabblers. He never really allows us to kind of approach the kingdom of God as if it's like a buffet. Well, you know, I'm going to take some of this and I don't really want some of that and that looks pretty good. He doesn't ever let that happen. He consistently, like the Father and the Spirit, challenges us to take the really pleasant parts and the challenging parts as well together. See, the kingdom of God is serious business. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is serious business. As we kind of dive into Luke 10, I want to show you how those two things go together. And actually, I want to talk about some ponderings that come out of this section too. And there are six worth seeing in this great section, okay? And I think they're meant to be given to enhance discipleship joy. Joy! And they are, if you have your outline, you can follow along. I'm going to go through them, okay? First, did you notice here that this walk of discipleship is not meant to be done alone? It's not meant to be done alone. Please notice in this section that Jesus sends out the disciples in pairs. Now, I think this is incredible. Now, before we kind of start to talk about this, let me clear up something, okay? In many translations, the number sent out is 70. So in some Bible translations, it says 70. Some, like our ESV, says 72. What's the difference? Well, it goes all the way back to a Hebrew translation of the Old Testament versus a Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint. Now, both of them connect to various Old Testament passages, most notably Genesis 10, where 70 Gentile nations are mentioned. And so, in other words, whether the number is 70 or 72, The message of the kingdom of Christ, of the cross, of the empty tomb, it's meant for the whole world. It's meant for Jew and Gentile, slave, free, black, white, rich, poor, male, female, for everybody. So whether you're a 70 person or a 72 person, I happen to be a 70 person, okay? In the end, the message is for everybody, and the number sent out is sent out in pairs. Now, why is that important? Easy. Think about going out in pairs. It's better for protection. It's better for mutual encouragement. If somebody wants to quit, the other person picks them up and says, no, let's keep going. If somebody's right-brained, you stick them with a left-brained person. If somebody's a painter, you stick them with a pointer, right? You got to have these kind of people together because, let's be honest, the discipleship journey is tough. It's always easier, though, with a companion. Whether we see conversations or whether we have to shake the dust off our sandals, discipleship is always better done together. A group is sometimes too much. Alone is just that. But disciples are meant to be together, study together, serve together, speak together, live lives together. Don't go it alone. Now, I get this sense, just for Zion folk, I get this sense that in our community of believers, that some of our connections, some of our community, some of our friends, some of our groups, they're changing for a lot of different reasons. Now, on one hand, that's sad. On another, it should be terribly exciting because it opens up a door to make new friends and new connections and to find other fellow travelers on this road of discipleship. If your group is changing, don't bail. Just try engaging with another. You might find this is exactly what you've been looking for. Second, have you heard the despair over the decline of the mainline church? Well, remember, God can do so much with so-called unlikely people. So, some sobering statistics, okay? The average attendance of the LCMS congregations, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod of which we are, has dropped again in the most recent census data, 2016. A growing number of the 6,000 congregations that make up our church body, a number of them are getting too small to even call a full-time pastor. Heads, it seems, are getting grayer. Worries are mounting. Just the other day, I got a communication from the district office that said, hey, we need a copy of your bylaws and constitution. And I said, okay, here you go. I don't know why you need it. And they said, it's standard operating procedure. We need to make sure every church in our church body has this little provision that if it should dissolve, it has instructions in the Constitution and bylaws how to do that. Wow, that's sad. But it's a reality today. Standard operating procedure, they're just doing their due diligence. On the flip side, we are blessed in many ways and have been with this incredible message. Our adult conversion rate is actually better than the Southern Baptist Convention, if you believe that, not that it matters. But I think what I read into that is when we actually tell the good news, we're pretty good at it. When we tell it. Dear ones, I happen to believe that God has us here for a reason. And if He can commission 70 to spread the message, He can do great things with people that are just willing to step out. He has shown that He can do great things with just ordinary people. Third, did you notice that the emphasis in this passage is not so much on the miracles being done, but on the willingness of those serving to be dependent? If you think about it, here are Jesus' instructions. Take no bag, take no purse, and most importantly, take no guarantees with you. Okay? I'm going to go with you in teaching. You're going to come back, but other than that, not many guarantees. Commentator David Loess actually says something in his commentary, in this little commentary that he writes about this section, that really got my attention. It's on your outline. It's on the screens. I'll read it here. He says, I sometimes wonder if we could match the decline of the church to the rise of the disposable income in our cultures. There is something about wealth that creates the illusion of independence that insulates us, at least for a time, from the vicissitudes of life, and that spurs us to image that we really don't need God or each other. Wow, does that kind of get you like it gets me? You know this, in our culture, we're consistently told that our worth is found in our possessions and in our power to buy, purchasing power. Satisfy your impulses, splurge on this latest thing, and people will come flocking to you, life will be easier, colors will be more vibrant, tastes will be better, kisses and dances will last longer. Wow! But what if these behaviors, impulses, and things, these distractions, are actually pulling us more apart? I mean, what if we did some radical things? For instance, what if we just turned off our cell phone for just 1 hour a day? What if we actually went to bed at a time where we could get the rest that we need for the next day? What if we actually prayed and didn't do anything else? I mean, I know we like to pray when we're working out or driving or in our commute or when we're doing this or whatever. What if we just sat down and just prayed? What if we read Scripture before we did anything else? Or what if we skipped one meal a week and gave that time to devoting ourselves to Him? Or maybe just gave the money that we would have otherwise spent to somebody that really needs it? And what if we actually believe that we need each other here? To serve together, to walk together, to sublimate our needs for the betterment of the whole. Remember, this is God's ministry. This is God's place. All of it is His, and we are a motley group of messengers, in case you haven't noticed. And sometimes we fight like family. But in the end, we all serve for God's glory. Fourth, do we realize that there's still a harvest out there? And that laborers are still few? You know, there's so much to do, and we need your help. Young and old, and we don't have everything figured out. We don't have everything written down. Sometimes the established ways are best. Sometimes we actually need to try something new. But there's a place to serve. There's a place to lead. There's a place to follow. Do you need a place? Well, come and ask me. Ask Laura Miko. We'd be glad to help you. But our joy is to get the message out. Fifth, do we know the peace that we're called to proclaim? In other words, we're told to share the water of life. Have you actually drank it in yourself? To share the bread of life, have you experienced it in full? To proclaim the way, truth, and life, have you actually yielded yourself to it? You can't give away that which you don't have and don't want or don't own. If our tanks are exhausted and our focus is continually on the peripheral stuff, we won't give away peace, I guarantee it. So just pause today and take in the vista of God's inexhaustible love for you. And maybe just sing this song, because it might do something for your humility. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that changed a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Sixth, do we realize that the kingdom is near and it's serious business? Now, the Bible says here many times that rejection has grave consequences. And you know, those that have heard the message the longest, this law, gospel, sanctification message, you all ought to be the most animate to get it out on the street. And I get it, man. When you come to this section of woes, did you get to that? We're talking about going out and engaging people and doing this. And then we get to this section of woes and it's just like, ugh. Verses 13 to 16, man, they're tough. And they're tough because we don't especially like to be associated with sidewalk preachers who bullhorn people with this blistering message, right? And these verses are tough because we like to think that even good people outside the faith will somehow make it in. And we would say, oh yeah, only Christ unlocks eternal life, but we also know God's got this little thing right here that He can just pull out any time for anybody, right? We like to believe this. And these sections are tough because some people that we like, some people that we respect, and some people that we really love kind of fall into populations like those mentioned in Chorazin and Capernaum and Bethsaida. And frankly, we'd be happy if Jesus never mentioned stuff like this. And certainly, Pastor, don't preach on it because that makes our church seem intolerant and unfriendly at best. Now, with all that said, please, we're not called to be jerks about proclaiming this message. I mean, you're only sitting here by the sheer grace of God. We have nothing to be arrogant about because, like Paul, if God can call me, He can call anybody. If God can call you, He can change anybody. We should be theologically, morally, and biblically serious. Serious enough that there's a judgment and a will and a design and a creation and a purpose and a mission. But, man, we need to be radiant with mercy and grace and love too. The kingdom of God is near. So is this section tough? Yeah, it kind of is. Is it joyful? Yes, definitely. The kingdom of God is serious business. And let's treat it as such. And I know it's for everybody because in just a little while in this very chapter, we're going to see this Samaritan come upon this broken Israelite person. After two people that should have helped him out didn't, he picks him up and helps him because that's how important the kingdom is. It's not a game of tiddlywinks. So take away the judgment, you take away the need, you rob this venture of the joy that comes when, wow, new faces take on familiar positions and familiar faces take on new positions and servanthood comes alive and Scripture becomes the norm and confirmands make vows and baptisms happen and, you know, young people make vows to be a part of a mission trip going to Minneapolis area, okay, Minnesota, okay. But more than that, to be a part of something more than just a week. And Satan is slowly and wonderfully displaced. See, as 18 to 20 says, whether there is rejection or whether there is reception, the disciples, we are commanded to say the kingdom of God is near. And so he says this rather archaic or this very interesting little section where he goes, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And I think what he's trying to say is that when we share this message, evil and Satan are actually displaced. But we don't get cocky about this because you know what? We're just thankful that our names are written in heaven. And so we end where we have to begin. In order to be His disciples, we have to know the message. We have to relish the message. As D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, would say, the Christmas before his death. So here's a little Christmas in July for you. It's on your outline as well. To see His star is good, but to see His face is better. Thank You for being on this pilgrim road with me, being fellow travelers and disciples with me on this road. And trust me, God has a plan for Zion. In Jesus' name, amen.